You're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, Seven Year Itch, a 1955 film directed by Billy Wilder, and Some Like It Hot, a 1959 film also directed by Billy Wilder. You said, why?
BW.
These two. Why are we doing to a BW joint?
Well, because I don't remember. I think I just hadn't seen them, and they seemed like movies that I should have seen. And Blonde is coming out, so that's something, yes. I guess. Maybe it was in my mind that I was like, maybe I should watch some of her movies. I don't know anything about her except like just the cultural status. And so I did. And I enjoyed one of them. So,
which one?
I mean, I made the mistake of watching the one that wasn't in color first because I thought it was earlier. So I was like, oh, it must
it's
be.
Actually, it's actually later.
Yeah, yeah. So I watched Some Like It Hot, which I liked a lot. I actually thought it was fun and really just exactly what I thought it would be. And then the 7 year itch, yes. I was just like bummed out the entire time. Like a,
why were you bummed out?
It just felt like a play that was, you know.
Yeah, it's like one location.
It was based on a play,
like,
right?
Oh, was it?
I believe so.
Yeah. Nah.
Well,
it was from a three-act play.
Shouldn't have made it into a movie. That's my opinion about all plays.
Yes. This one doesn't. I will say the same. I like the imagine. Like I like the stuff where he like his where the parts where his imagination goes wild, but all the stuff in his apartment was Woody Allen, but not funny.
Yeah.
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 I said that to you. I just want to take credit for that.
Oh.
I made that orphan observation first. Shit.
Behind the scenes drama.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
What's interesting about 7 Year Itch is that it does kind of interrogate the idea of Marilyn Monroe, right? Like, given the fact that we're, it kind of breaks her down, like points out the how ludicrous the whole mythos of her is. And it's funny how like that the most iconic shot of the 7 Year Itch with her standing above the grate barely registered.
That was so underwhelming. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, here it comes. Surprised. And then I was like, wait, what? That was it? Yeah.
I think it's the promotional sheet. And there was the promo photo. That is what actually solidified, like, is that's the image that we all have in our heads. But in the actual
or the
movie,
one in Pulp Fiction.
And the one in Pulp Fiction, yeah. She's not that great of an, well, I don't want to say that, but I don't
she's
think her performance was that strong. She got a lot better by Some Like It Hot. Like, for one, she's actually a character.
But do you think it's her, or do you think it's the part she has given?
It's probably a bit of both, I think. I think she has this sort of persona that they're playing off in the same way that, like, kind of Brad Pitt is Brad Pitt in every movie, or George Clooney is George Clooney in every movie. So that's it. And then I think it's just, like, the parts are kind of, you know, geared towards trying to make the best out of that. But they're not. I mean, she is an object in both of these. That's the whole role. So it's really hard to kind of remove it from the context and examine it just objectively. But I don't know. It's really hard to, like, see her as, you know, Meryl Streep, even if she was, you know, alive today, rising up today. But I don't know. It's hard to, like, reverse engineer those things because it already happened and affected so much later on. So I don't know.
It was kind of sad watching Some Like It Hot, considering, like, I know, like, you know that she dies, like, 3 years. So it's only 3 years after, before she actually
no
dies.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she dies in 62. And this was made released in 59. Sad life. If anything, it just makes me really want to watch Blonde because I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Blonde.
And apparently, it's like a fictional account. It's only semi autobiographical. which makes it even more interesting. Like, it gives them more leeway to do to really say something, I think, about Hollywood.
Sometimes that's more honest, because you can
really
get to the fact instead of like Elvis. Not that we should be talking about this. Sorry, Michelle.
it's great. Go watch it. It's great. No. It's on digital. Okay. Back to the films. This is our second time seeing Jack Lemmon. The first time being in Glengarry Ross.
What? No way. He was.
That's Jack Lemmon.
No. Wow.
Fantastic. He thought he was so funny in this. Both him and Tony Curtis. Incredible. I wish the film just kind of followed them more, as opposed to introducing the Marilyn Monroe character, because she barely registers in the actual story of what happens.
Wow, he played such a creep in the movie. So, Jack Lemmon. The way he laughed every time, I was like, ew.
Yeah, I don't know how, it's very practiced. I don't know how he can just conjure that up on the spot.
But I don't know. I really like the Some Like It Hard. I feel like it's exactly what I wanted it to be. Like, I just wanted to watch two men be silly. And I liked all the gangster stuff. Like, that was pretty fun. Loose,
very obvious Al Capone parallels. They literally call it the Valentine Massacre at one point. I was like, okay, guys, you're not even trying to hide it. But that's fine. Because that opening massacre is partially, I very much based on the actual Valentine's St. Valentine's Day massacre. I thought it was very, very, which is that appropriate? I thought it was really dark. Like all the gangsters getting gunned down. Do you think it quite fit with the actual tone of the rest of the movie, where it's very light and very comedic?
I don't know. I thought it was fine, and I kind of enjoyed the balance of it. Like, it just came in at the right time, and then kind of picked back up when I started getting bored with the whole like shtick of them going like, "Oh, we're actually men," you know. So I think it was well balanced. But I don't know, it's just like a classic movie, you know, like
The script is very tight.
Yeah, like
it's much like a 30 Rock joke a minute sort of deal, which every 30 seconds.
Yeah, but like, I mean, yeah, and that speaks to just it being like structurally so like, you know, on the money. Like, it's not like they're trying to do anything or subvert anything. Maybe I was just in the mood for that. So. But what else did you guys like about it?
I mean, I've seen both of them before. And like because for some reason, I didn't like Some Like It Hot very much the first time I watched it. I couldn't get over the sexism. But for some reason, really enjoyed The 7-Year Itch the first time I watched it. This time, complete shift of that.
Wow, that's interesting.
It was just a good time watching Some Like It Hot. And then the sexism was kind of unbearable in The 7-Year Itch. I found The 7-Year Itch quite dark. Just like...
Quite dark?
Yeah, how so?
I don't know, just like a terrible depiction of men in the... I don't know. That as soon as their wife leaves, that's exactly what they do. Because of course they do that, because that's the only free time they get. And it's just like very negative towards like how you treat your wife, which just feeds into all the cultural stuff. It's like the thing that men just, like, they, you know, they love their wives, but they don't like their wives kind of thing, which I just don't.
Yeah.
Actually, it is. I can kind of see that, because the way he reduces all the women around him, like, during the beginning of the film, right, he thinks about his secretary, he thinks about the nurse, and you're like, wow, man, is that just how you see them? Because then you see them later on, like, you see the secretary later on in the film, and she's just kind of a normal woman. You're like, oh, how much of, and it just makes him seem incredibly sleazy, the way he just so casually objectifies the people around him. And not just to, I wouldn't, it doesn't even that extends beyond women to like his the guy who he like knocks out at the end because he just thinks that he's having an affair with his wife, so he assaults him.
Yeah, and it's like, mostly
no bearing, there's no basis of thinking that like the guy is just dropping in to say hi and then he punches him out.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous, but they all, it's all like just him being like, you're messing around with my wife, and he was like just fighting himself the entire time. So
he's like, for some reason, so noble for not cheating on his wife, and yet he gets to like assault this guy for thinking that he's gonna be sleeping with his wife. It's crazy. Although another interesting parallel, the music. So that's the first time we heard Rachmaninoff. First time we were introduced to him in Brief Encounters, and the song in Some Like It Hot, one of the last song, I'm Through With Love, was the song, Michelle, if you remember the Woody Allen film, Everybody Says I Love You, that's the main theme of that. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so that's where he cribbed it from. That was really interesting. I guess, like, for, especially with, like, Someone Like It Hot, it's as close as they can get away with it in terms of the LGBT themes, mm-hmm. I guess, for that time.
It's not, like, carving the way for queer identities in the future. It's just, like, It's a joke that a man will dress as a woman and people would find him attractive.
Yeah.
How hilarious, like, but...
Yeah, that's the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's
the 50s, you know, it's kind of as progressive as they could possibly get, I guess.
The fact that he accepts that at the end, even if it's played as a joke, it's like, oh, nobody's perfect. Like it's okay. Like he's cool with it. He doesn't, you know, call him a slur or anything. But
that's the joke that he's cool
that's
with.
That's the joke that he is. The joke is that he's cool with it. It's like,
Isn't this guy such a nut that he's into this? But I don't know, I thought it was just fun, like it was dumb fun, like it's obviously not gonna be like some radical statement, it's just like people trying to sell tickets to an audience.
Apparently they had a really rough time making Some Like It Hot. This is where Marilyn Monroe clashed the most with the director, despite previously working together. She couldn't remember the lines. But ultimately, like, they came, like, I guess in retrospect, the director was like, oh, anybody can remember lines, but to deliver an actual performance and to have that, like, charisma and on-screen presence, it takes, like, Marilyn Monroe. I thought she's very beautiful, but I just don't think she registers that much as a actress.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to tell because... parts are so like ditzy and all over the place, and like that's kind of what you want, which I don't know, you don't register that as good acting, but yeah, when I saw it the first time I wasn't overly impressed. Like it's not like
what that's what I kind of liked about the 7-year itch is that she it doesn't nothing happens, it really is just making fun, it really all is just in his head. And it kind of breaks down the myth. It breaks her down. Like, she is actually just a regular girl.
Yeah, but then doesn't she admit that she likes him at the end?
Well, that's just, well, it's a movie. They have to do that. That's how I see it. Like, the guy has to win somehow. They had to give him a win somehow.
He's a hero because he doesn't succumb to the seductive woman.
Well, I think they make a point that she wasn't trying to seduce him in the first place.
Yeah, she just wants to sleep in the AC.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just wants the AC.
But I figured out, or I didn't figure out, I just read why it's in black and white, despite it being in 1959. Because the makeup that they wore, Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon made their faces look green when it was in color. So they had to do it in black and white.
Wow.
God damn it. Don't they have like a makeup team? Like, isn't this a movie? Like, why did they not think of this?
I'm sure it just wouldn't help at all if it was in color. They just looked like guys the entire time. But,
yeah,
it was, but, yeah. Yeah.
the joke is that they're barely hiding it, and it's so easy for them to slip in between.
Marilyn Monroe originally didn't want to play Sugar. She said, "I don't want to play someone who can't tell Daphne and Josephine are really men dressed in drag." Like, she...
She's right. She has every reason to say that. She's like, this girl's an idiot. She can't fit.
It's exactly what you said, Michelle. Yeah, it's kind of the role itself as someone being super ditzy.
And the fact that she's willing to just run away with him despite being lied to the entire movie. Like, he kisses her once and she's like, "Oh yeah, that's good enough. Let's go. Let's go." Although it's very, very funny how when she hopped on and the guy's like, "Oh, who is she?" He's like, "Oh, another flower girl." Still convinced that they're going to have a wedding. That was really good. Yeah, it is the superior film, even though we don't... we'll leave that till the next part. But speaking of the next part, shall we take a break? We're back. Now, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. 7 Bears. Let's rate them up.
I want to give less than 7. Is that... I don't know. I thought both were, like, good, but kind of okay. I don't know. I'll just do, like, 5 and 2 or something. 5 to some like it hot.
5 yeah. and 2.
I'm the same.
I'll do 4 and 3, 4 for some like it hot, 3 for 7 year itch. I'm just kind of disappointed as influential and as talked about these films are, I thought they were just okay. Maybe we just see them as what they are, comedies that were just released, popular comedies.
Yeah, that's true. It never ages well.
Never really, yeah. Well, yeah, some like it hot a lot more. The jokes hold up a lot better. Probably because there's an actual plot and a story to support all of it. Yeah. Like 7 year itch when it's just one guy in his apartment.
Yeah. Who do they think they are? Spalding Gray. That's a joke for me. Okay. Anyways.
Let's move on to what we've been watching this week.
Oh, yeah. What have we been watching this week?
Well, I've watched a couple of things. One of them is what we're going to be watching next week. But I have also watched an insane action movie on Netflix called Carter. Do not watch it. Both of you, do not watch this. But it's... Yusuf, remember when we went and watched Hardcore Henry in theaters?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. First yeah.
Movie. This is that times 3, and it never stops. And there are sequences where it feels like the actors are being handed pages of this the hastily written script just off screen and performing it for the first time. It is ludicrous. It's made to look like it's all done in one take, but there is no consideration given to hiding any of the cuts, so it would just cut. Like it is a director who's completely unrestrained and not being held back by anything, and it's fascinating to watch, if only just to see how it's insane the results are. But I don't think it's worth the entire. It's also like 20 minutes too long. So that's what I watched. It's on Netflix. But if you like action movies, you might as well give it a go. There's some crazy, crazy shit in it, but it might also make you want to throw up at multiple points. So there's that. Michelle, have you watched anything?
Yeah, sadly, I'm the same. I've been busy at work, so I didn't get to watch anything. But I want to watch that Prey movie you were talking about. That's something.
Oh, so I did watch Prey. Yeah. And I also watched, if you guys aren't interested in seeing anything, I've also watched Prey, the Predator film. It's good. It's a fine action movie. And it's very, very funny to watch the Predator just destroy like 30 French trappers. It's like the Revenant, but if you just threw the Predator in it, it's awesome because of that. The main girl is also really, really good. And I like the idea of having a Comanche. You can watch it in English or you can watch it in a Comanche dub because they're all Native Americans, right? And it's really cool how they put in the consideration effort to redub the whole movie
in its supposed native context.
Oh, nice.
It's a good call, and it's devastating how this is not given a theatrical release, because it would have totally killed, given the fact that it's now the most watched film on Hulu in its entire streaming history. So they must feel pretty dumb for not putting this on theaters. No, even more so. Yeah, it's good. It's a fine action movie. Oh, and to sell it a little bit further, Yusuf, it's done by the same guy who did 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
And he's great. Very, very competent director. All right. This brings us to our recommendations. What you got, boys and girls? Boy and girl.
I'm going to recommend The Asphalt Jungle.
Well, be sure to check out our episode of The Asphalt Jungle. Michelle?
Recommend The Apartment. Ooh. I think it's Billy Wilder as well. I'm not sure.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it's also Billy Wilder. My recommendation is another comedy of this, relatively of the same period, Breakfast at Tiffany's, starring Audrey Hepburn. If you want, I think that's an interesting film to watch in terms of interrogating what women meant, how women are represented in cinema. It actually does it well. All right.
No, but I think that could be an interesting comparison of how Marilyn Monroe is treated in cinema, and then how someone with the elegance of Audrey Hepburn is treated could be an interesting episode. But yeah, USA.
Yeah, and I'll have you know that when I first watched Breakfast at Tiffany's when I was 11, did not pick up on the fact that she was a call girl.
No, me neither.
I just thought she just liked to make a lot of friends and missed the entire point of the movie.
But they do make it watch very explicit.
Certain movies did not register for me as a child, as a dumb child.
Well, it would be problematic.
Now it's a little bit more obvious.
That would be the more unusual thing. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Excellent. For next week, we will be watching two films that are sensibly about toxic masculinity. Number one is Alex. Yeah. Both are released this year. The first one is Alex Garland's Men, starring the wonderful Jesse Buckley, one of my favorite actresses working right now. The other is Resurrection, a film by, I think, first-time director Andrew Siemens, starring Rebecca Hall. I've seen Resurrection.
As Jesus?
I loved it. No, not as Jesus, but actually, watch the movie. you can have that read. So yeah, those will be the two films with very, very ludicrous third acts that we'll be discussing next week. Join us then.
Bye.
Keep it real. Have a good day.
The 7th Reel is hosted by Marvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Al-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya Al-Bashir. Thanks for listening.